Blog Talk Radio.
Inner Sight with Frank and Pidgey. This is Inner Sight. Inner Sight means freedom. Today we're doing hamburger flipper or quality of life PCA. Which job is more important? Hello, Frank.
Our hey, Pidge.
Our host, Frank Carino.
Great to be here.
How
with
are
you?
Yeah, me too.
I'm good. I want to let people know that this program is dedicated to the late, great Brian Cruz, who we love very much.
Yes, we do. What a great advocate and friend, talented musician, radio co-host. Remember those days?
Yeah, yeah. I remember going to his house, and he was so gracious, you know.
Yes, he was. So, Frank, how was the thing you did Wednesday? Why don't you tell your audience about that?
Oh, we had a great time. We had four newspapers there and a magazine that goes online. And I think the pictures will be in all of them. And one of the highlights was that the reporter who was doing the photos, and they did video too, I let her hold on to my dog's harness while my dog was guiding me. And I told her, I said, now close your eyes. And she did, you know. I said, now don't cheat, don't open them. And she walked with me. We had a barrier up. She walked with me, and my dog came to the barrier and identified it, you know, waited for a command, you know, because I could have told her to go about, or I could have told her to, I gave her the command, hop up, which means keep going. So she had to go around the barrier up on the grass, you know. In fact, the barrier was a wheelchair. My friend, Suzanne, was in a wheelchair.
Right.
She created a barrier. So the reporter got the full sense of what it's like, you know, being guided by a guide dog. And then she said to me later, she said, you know, the first time I realized why you're...
Wow.
It was a great event, and we even got a $100 donation.
Oh, that's great. So it was a tale, blind sight, a tale of a guide dog. You did a
demonstration.
You did a demonstration, and there were people supporting this, and it raised awareness, and that's awesome. I wish I could have been there.
Well, I want to do it in other states, other cities. You know, I'm looking at that and see what happens.
It's a great idea. It's a great idea. So we have a call-in number, 213-816-1650. Give us a call. And if you would like this demonstration to be done in your city, call us and let us know where you live.
Yeah. Yeah, we'd love to. I'm going to try to get a sponsor. Ira is helping me with it. Ira Tucker, who came up with the title. Blind Sight, the Tale of a Guide Dog, you know.
Wasn't he Stevie Wonder's promoter?
Yeah. Yeah, he was Steve's publicist for many, many years.
Yeah,
and one of the things he did with one of Steve's albums was he blindfolded the audience, you know, so they get the feel of... what it's like for Steve, you know, and it worked. Everybody was excited about it because they were part of it, you know.
Yeah, you don't know until you feel what it's like, you know.
That's right.
It's a way to get, good way to get change. Change.
Incidentally, today would have been Ray Charles's birthday.
Really?
Ray would have been 90 years old today. And I had the honor of being friends with Ray and hanging out with him, you know, when we did the show in New York, an out-of-sight night.
Really?
Yeah, with Steve, and I brought Stevie and Ray together on the same stage. And
really? What year
was
that?
It was phenomenal, man. You know,
wow.
We sold it out, you know. So happy birthday,
wow.
Ray.
Happy birthday, Ray. Wow. That's great. What a great musician. A great singer.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A great person, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I have fond memories of Ray. You know, we were walking down Broadway together. And he turned to me and said, "You see what I mean, Frank?" He said, "Why can't we read all these things? How come they don't have Braille up and the raised print, you know?" And he wanted to change that. He was very enthusiastic about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then he got ill, you know, and wound up in the hospital. But we talked about it, and we were going to do something on it.
Wow.
You know.
Well, you have to take the torch and keep on running.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yep.
So.
No doubt about that. That's why I do this show, Pidge.
I know. You really have a heart for change. So,
yeah.
Now,
oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that, you know, a lot of people are having trouble hiring PCAs. And down the street, McDonald's pays $10 an hour, offers health benefits, 401ks, and bonuses. PCAs get their money and that's it. No benefits. So people are going to flip hamburgers and have benefits rather than actually assist a person with their life. I mean,
how much? I'm sorry. I have a question for you.
Yes.
Go ahead. Did you finish your thought? I'm sorry.
Well, the priority of this country is wrong. You know, you get paid to flip a burger better, you get better benefits than helping a person.
How much should they get? What's your opinion on that?
I think that with any job, you get a starting salary, and I think at the discretion of the employer, which will be the consumer, you get raises. As your performance, you know, earns that raise. There's more incentive that way. You know? Every state pays a different hourly wage.
Yeah. Well, I think they should get at least to start $20 an hour.
Yeah, well, especially since minimum wage went up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And to get some kind of plan for benefits, you know. Now, you know, the inner sight philosophy is a lot different, you know.
Yeah.
Because we believe that the money is not being used right.
Not at all.
See, now, why is it? Now, the government could save money if they would listen to us, you know. Get the agencies for the disabled to start raising money for these things, you know, and let the government put in half the money. Now, of course, if the agency doesn't raise it, the government's got to be responsible for all of it. Let me tell you why we believe that the government should be responsible, because we believe that they owe us for not giving us accessibility when they originated things. You know, any structure that they have originated should have been made for everyone. So they owe us.
Right.
They really owe us. That's what I believe. I mean, that's the inner sight philosophy.
Well, the people pay taxes. So my father used to say to me, Pidgey. He called me Pidgey. He said, Pidgey, with all the money I pay in taxes, you should get whatever you can from the government.
Exactly.
That's what he said. Yep.
Yeah, I believe he was right. He was right. And his name was Frank, too, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. F.P., same initials.
Well,
it
can't
too.
Be wrong.
Yeah.
Now, you see, you know what should happen here? I'll tell you what should happen. The money should go to the individual who needs the aid in an account.
Yeah.
And it can only strictly be used for that, you know, on the law. See?
Yeah.
There should be laws to protect it and to make sure. And the agency should have the right, you know, every few months, whatever it is, to check and make sure that money is being used for that. You know, not that they would have the right to take the money. That would be a court thing. But half the money should come from the government, and the other half should come from the agencies. Now, I'll tell you why I believe that, because if half the money came from the agencies, we could become partners with the agencies and help them raise the money. Now, look how that works.
Are you talking about home care agencies? Because
No, I'm talking about the agencies for the disabled.
Advocate, okay.
Yeah. Any agency that corresponds with the person's disability.
Right, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
You know
and
you could, yeah, go ahead.
The problem is when my sister years ago was at a party at a friend, somebody asked her PCA, what do you do? And she said, I'm a PCA. And they said, no, what's your real job? See, they don't look at this as a very important job.
Right.
I mean, you're helping somebody with their intimate details, intimate physical help with their life. If I ever had a PCA that raised their voice to me or got a little bit in my face and then would say, well, let's go, I'm going to help you to the bathroom, I would say, you are not touching me until you calm down, because touching my body is an honor. It should be an honor to do this.
Definitely.
Yes.
Definitely.
But our society.
You know, I'm still friends with Karen Pierce.
You are?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She reached out to me. Wow. That's great.
Was Karen good or bad?
She was wonderful. Wonderful.
Wonderful, right?
Yeah.
I kind of got that impression.
We have a caller. Can I take a call?
Yeah, sure, darling. Whatever you want to do.
All right, hold
on. Inside Live.
Hi, Frank. Hi, Pidgey. Hi, Frank. How are you?
Hi.
Anthony, yeah.
Anthony.
I'm Brooklyn.
Yes.
Good.
Anthony.
Yes. So, Pidgey, most respectfully, I disagree with you. I get to the point where I think that home care is overrated. First of all, McDonald's workers work much harder than home care workers. They don't sit and talk on their phones and sleep all day and gossip about people and their family members and how dirty people's houses are and expect, like I said, hotel accommodations for, you know, the kind of work that they do, that, you know, you're, you know, and I've said the type of stuff before about curtains needing to be changed, about, you know, your house needing to be painted, about the room that they are sleeping in not being big enough, or, you know, they don't like this nationality of the people, that nationality of people. A lot of these people, Pidgey, that do this type of job are young, childish, you know, people that are outlandish and boisterous and don't really care about the job and don't value it much themselves. And the McDonald's workers that get paid the same as a home health aide, that's only few and far McDonald's. If you know the actual facts, it's only the franchise McDonald's that are allowing that. And the majority of McDonald's now are having self-service kiosks because they don't want to pay that kind of price. And they only did it to make themselves look good because everybody was out there, you know, protesting and things like that. Now, I agree with you that if everyone got a better job, then, you know, maybe there'll be no McDonald's workers and there'll be, you know, there would be a place for them. But, you know, this job, unfortunately, is seen as, you know, bottom of the ladder, and I appreciate it, but, you know, you really don't get that much care anyway, and everything that has to be done for a disabled person is over-exasperated. You know, you have to have 8 hours for somebody to sit there and wash a cup because your family member feels that it's not fair that, you know, they have to
wash a cup.
Sounds
like you got the wrong person, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
For the job.
I was waiting
Pidgey, yeah. Regardless of what you do, they don't last. They don't stay for long. They don't this. They don't that. They get too comfortable and get too mouthy with you.
Let Pidgey respond to you.
Let me answer you. It's exactly the problem. You get what you pay for.
Right.
You don't pay.
But, Pidgey, these people, they're not, how would I explain this to you? They're not educated to expect that kind of money. This job is...
Then you get somebody else. If you had the money, you could get the right person.
But those kind of people are probably not going to do this kind of job. And they got it simply, Frank. It took 3 weeks.
You paid them well enough, you treated them well enough. Believe me, you'd find the right people.
Three weeks they get this job, Frank. They teach them, you know, basic universal precautions, use gloves, clock in and out, be respectful, be polite, da-da-da-da-da, and, you know, anyone can do it. And I really honestly don't think that, you know, they're going to get paid much more in how many years, the amount of money they get paid.
Well, they're not unless we change the system the way it's done.
Let me ask you.
Of course they're not going to get paid.
Anthony, do you hire your own PCAs, or do you go through an agency?
I go through an agency, but if I had to pay for it privately, it would give me a stroke, not because I'm cheap, but it would break my heart to see these people get paid that much. I don't value the work that they do because I, you know, they sit within their work. As I said, I see it as more of a babysitter. That's all it is.
I know that in New York, as well as Massachusetts, they have consumer-directed PCA services where you would hire your own people.
Yes, I know about that, but you in order for them to accept you in that program, you have to have 4 people to back up 1 person, and then all the agency would do is pay the aid. And they know good and well that most people don't know more than 1 or 2 people to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's petty dibble-dabble work. That's all they do. The only personal care thing they do for somebody is help them get dressed or take a shower or help them in the bathroom if they can't help themselves, and there's a lot of people who can do that. It's just, it's agonizing because either the patient wants more than they need, or the family insists that they have it because they feel like they're going to have some responsibility to the person, and they feel that it, when the person turns 18, they shouldn't have to lift a finger for them until they die. And, you know, as long as the person is alive and they're not a mannequin and they live with you, it isn't going to be that way regardless. And like I said last night, these people are going to be dependent in the majority of cases no matter what you do, whether it's their physical disability, their lack of money, their lack of home care, the lack of quality of care, the aides not showing up, the agency not finding somebody, or even if you paid privately, you wouldn't have, you know, somebody every day, because even if you hired four people, you don't know who would be reliable, who would show up, and what if they got sick and couldn't show up? You just can't depend on people like that every day the rest of your life, regardless of whatever you do. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying...
I have been hiring my own PCAs for 42 years.
Well, that's great. I'm glad it worked out. But I think their job is
It's a difficult thing. Now,
it depends on the level of care that you need. But not you don't need to get put in a facility because you need a cup washed. And if a bag of garbage doesn't get taken out and it sits there till tomorrow, so what? And if, you know, as long as you eat, you shower, and they tidy up a little bit, it's not a big deal to have somebody all these hours like all these people want. Not everybody in the world says, you know, needs what they say they need. A lot of people just want to kiss up to these aides just to appease them. Okay, you know, I'll give you whatever you want. You want 12 hours, no problem. And they think, I'll just get that so I can keep her. Even, you know, Pidgey, I can tell you for a fact, when the city was responsible for the cases, my caseworker told me that you have to have enough hours to make the aide comfortable. So you could find anybody, and if she says she wants 13 hours, then that's what you're supposed to have, because she says she needs 13 hours, and they bloated the city's budget until it was sky high and they could no longer afford it, and all these casas were closed.
But they did it
in the
wrong way. They should have got the agencies to start raising a good piece of that money.
Even the agencies would have got fed up with it and tired of it.
I don't believe that. I believe they could raise the money if they did it in the right way.
Right,
they could attract people.
Where's the limit, Frank? Where's the limit? You can't give everybody in the world unlimited hours just because they say they want it. You know what I mean?
You need it. You have to need it.
But not everybody needs it. And needing a cup washed or...
Get rid of these damn nursing homes and put the money in keep a person in their home.
Exactly.
There's another way to put the damn money
That's true, too, but you would still only qualify for those who need it. Frank, there are some people who, because of the medical issues, they need, you know... They need to be in a nursing home because they don't want
to
pay for
two
for one
they don't need to
one
be in
person.
I disagree with that. They need to be in their own home with the right help.
I have a question. Anthony, what would be your answer to the problem?
My answer to the problem would be, which I know they would never do, would be to go back to, you know, regular Medicaid, where they didn't, you know, overanalyze every little thing like managed care does, because all these are you know, cheap plans that were contracted by the government you know, basically to take care of people and provide for them and provide cheaper medication and look for cost-cutting measures. But they're right, Frank. You have to limit it somehow. It's not the person's need. If you got 6-7 people in a house, Frank, you don't have to worry about it because one person puts a cup, regardless if other people did or not. They don't even have enough space for everybody to get to the sink to wash dishes at one time, and nobody stands there and washes it every minute. The aides only take one cup and one plate and wash it constantly just to say that he or she fulfilled her job because they don't want to do nothing else, and it's bare minimum care. That's all it is, and it's just, you know, it just...
All right, listen, we're
going to,
Anthony, thank you. We're going to go on with the show.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
I know Pidge has a lot to say, but let me just say first, the answer is the money. All right.
Yep.
That's the bottom line. The money should go directly to the person. And the agency should be helping with this. Now, Pidge, you live this.
When you say agency, make sure you clarify not a home health agency, but an organization that helps disabled people, right? Is that what you mean? Right.
Yeah. Why doesn't every independent living center raise money to help a person pay their aid?
They're
not allowed to do that. You got to change the way things are done. They're not allowed to do that.
They do it up here, but they get their money through MassHealth, you know, Medicaid.
Yeah.
Mass.
Yeah.
We have another 718 caller.
I mean, why aren't they fundraising to help people offset some of the cost? You know,
well, Medicaid.
Let's say, for argument's sake, they put in $10,000. The government puts in $10,000. That's $20,000 in your account for your
aides.
It
would cost me about over $100,000 a year to pay for my PCs.
All right. So if the agencies raised half of that and the government, that's $50,000, they would raise half of it.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they could raise a lot more if they did this in the right way. What about, why don't they all get together and do a telethon a couple of times a year? You know how much money they could raise appealing to these movie stars?
Yeah.
Billions. Billions of dollars.
The
problem would be solved.
The government has the money. It's just that they don't give enough benefits to... They need benefits.
That would have to be remedied, too. You pay...
I had a very nice, amazing PCA, and she was wonderful. But she had to quit. She needed benefits.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the thing.
That has to be part of it, the benefits.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it has to be paid in.
Mm-hmm.
You know? If the person makes better money, they could pay it in themselves, or maybe the person who needs the service could pay part of it.
The whole thing is the money, man. Yeah. You know, our society has their priorities in the wrong place. We're very materialistic. We're very into capitalism.
Right.
And it's like, this is like helping somebody live. You know?
Well, what you said earlier is so true. It's not looked upon as an important job. See?
Right.
And that has to change. See? Why don't the agencies get some of these aides who want to do it and get them to do PSAs on the radio and tell people how important it is and what they're doing for people. And we're giving somebody dignity. We're helping somebody live their life. It's not just, you know, giving them a wash rag or whatever.
You're not a butt wiper. A lot of people say that. Yeah. I go, oh, my God. No way.
That's what has to be done. The whole image
has
to be revamped. And that's where the money comes in. See?
So
that's what I believe is the solution. Then you're going to get better people.
Yes.
Who care.
That's right.
You know, and who, people who see it as something important.
The number, 213-816-1650, and your site, give us a call.
Yeah, brought to you by the Big East Akita Rescue, Tom's River, New Jersey. My great Akita guide dog yesterday showed them all up. 609-388-7004, adopt an Akita. And makes a great service dog, and the rescue will evaluate your dog for you. They have a trainer that they have that they deal with, and you know, you tell them what you need the dog for, and they'll evaluate it for you. They've been evaluating my dogs for 30 years. Yes, and Kennedy Realty, my buddy Kennedy, right here, local, who just pledged $100 to Inner Sight. Thank you, Mr. Kennedy. 631-888-1186. Buy a house, sell a house, or get some good info. Call Mr. Kennedy. We thank him. Suffolk Bus Corp, who donated $2,000 to us in July. That's why this show is still on the air.
We love our sponsors.
Thank you to Suffolk. We need more sponsors. Anybody out there, you know, who would like to, anybody like to sponsor this idea of Blind Sight, the Tale of a Guide Dog, we'd be happy to put your name up. Ira gave me the idea of getting blindfolds made up with that title on it, the name of the business that would sponsor it, you know. So we're going to try to pull that all together.
It's a great idea.
Next week when the articles come out. What?
You could even put a company name on the harness. You know?
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah, that would work.
Advertise.
Yeah. Sure, you could put it all over. Put it up on the YouTube, put it up on the, we start doing the television show again.
Ah. You
know, put it right up. Thanks to, you know.
Yeah.
And Inner Sight has a lot of progressive ideas.
You know, yes, it does.
We got to get the right
does.
People to pull it off. You know.
Mm-hmm.
If we could get a chunk of money donated for the personal care people, we could start doing it ourselves and set the example and say, hey, this is how it should be done.
You know, I think it used to be, I don't know about now, but years ago I knew that in Sweden, the country of Sweden, they would pay the person to manage their own care. So I would get a salary and the PCA would get their salary.
Yeah, well,
crazy, and they're very progressive.
Yeah, having someone else control the money that's supposed to be for your aid does not help. It makes it worse.
Yep, and we have to make sure they don't. We don't want them to institutionalize this either with too many regulations. You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But there is a solution, you know, and if we could find the right people to do it.
Yep.
We could and we would.
213-816-1650. Now, I think I have a caller.
All right.
I'm not sure.
Inner Sight Live.
Unless it's Anthony. Let's see. 781-789-7871.
Anthony likes to listen, which is good.
Oh, online? Okay. Yeah, maybe that's... Still learning here.
Yeah. How many people need AIDS in this country?
A lot.
Millions, right?
Yeah.
Millions
yes.
and millions of people. How much did the government spend on AIDS?
I don't have the figures of that, yeah.
Yeah. But if they could cut that and people could still, you know, get help, that would work for everybody.
Yeah, I'm going to take this call here. Inner Sight, you're on the air.
Hi, Pidgey, it's me. I called back in because you disconnected me.
Oh, I didn't know that was you. Were you just listening?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I'm listening. You know, I always listen after I talk to you guys.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
But we need to get more participation. Let me get that right. On the behalf of these agencies, not only to help raise the money,
mm-hmm.
but to bring up the dignity part of this and to impress upon people.
Yeah.
The importance, you know, that this person now is one with this personal aid, you know.
It's like
me and my guide dog.
It's like a physical extension of the person.
Yeah. It's got to be a teamwork.
Mm-hmm.
And which means to me that you got to get the right person, not just anybody is good at this.
I was telling my husband that, you know, somebody can have the best reference, the best resume, but when they help me, if I don't have a good vibe and I'm not comfortable, it's not going to work.
Of course.
You know, it's very, very, it's very personal.
Yeah.
You know?
And usually better people, and not that I'm prejudiced at all, don't get me wrong, better people want more money and they want to be treated with dignity, you know? And part of that is like you said, the girl who needed benefits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that should be there for them.
Right. That's the issue.
Should be there.
The benefits. Incentive. There's no incentive.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely.
Now we have to compete with, like, McDonald's. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, plus, I hold my PCAs in high regard. I was at Foxwoods playing poker. My aide was helping me. My PCA was helping me hold the cards, but the chip. And one of the guys said, oh, what a great, that's an easy job. I said, no, actually, it's not.
Hmm.
Are you there? I said, she works very hard, and she's very good at it. You know,
yeah.
I always talk them up, you know?
Yeah, of course.
It's a very demanding job. Very.
We need more people to do that who are disabled too.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, unfortunately, a lot of people do not treat their PCA right either.
Right.
I never raise my voice. I don't. I'm always respectful. You know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, well, there's two sides to the story, you know, and people should make a better effort, you know.
I always say, at the end of the day, thank you. You did a great job. I'll see you tomorrow or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not just like, all right, bye. You know?
I'm sure that they appreciate that, and they feel a sense of well-being, and you know,
right,
that you care about them.
I do. And yeah. If I have something I have to correct, I usually say, I love the way you did this. You're doing a great job, but this needs to be this, you know?
Yeah.
I try to give positive feedback. And you know, it was a growing learning experience. I started when I was 19, and I was disorganized and a little crazy at times, you know, immature. Mm-hmm. And it was hard for them, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm 62. If I don't know how to do it now.
Well, like Jackie Gleason said, now you're a full-grown nut.
I am a full-grown. I'm a walnut. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But,
you know what?
Yeah. Definitely the system has to change.
Yeah.
Better, you know.
Yeah, and I feel
like
that's
the only thing that's going to make a difference.
Everyone is worried because it seems like the system is going backwards lately.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they're doing this thing. They want to do electronic visit verifications where they have to, like, clock in on your phone and say where you are.
Yeah.
None of their blankety blank business where I am. I'm not on parole, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree with you. It's crazy. Every sign should be accessible. Every every light, every window should be accessible. Every building,
In a perfect world. Yeah, in a perfect world. 213-816-1650. We're listening to Inner Sight.
Inner Sight. Oh, by the way, the Inner Sight number is 631-224-3090. That's our office number.
Off the air in office, yeah. Great.
Oh, we have another call?
No.
All right.
It's just me and you. Right
so,
now.
Just to recap a little bit, and you let me know if you don't agree with this. The money should go to the person for the aid. You know, the agencies should be allowed to raise money. See, if every independent living center was allowed to raise money, I'm not saying that they could, automatically solve the whole problem, but it would help, and it would give them a lot of good publicity, you know, and reasons to put PSAs on the radio and articles and all that. It would be wonderful.
Well, I know that to put someone in a nursing home costs a lot more than a PSA.
Yeah.
So they
should
use money for benefits and, more of an attraction to attract people.
That money should be diverted to the person's home health care.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt, no question.
Yeah.
We don't need these nursing homes.
No.
I mean, they're horrendous. You know, you hear stories every day, and there's so many stories that you don't even hear.
You know what the average lifespan in a nursing home is? 3 months.
No.
3 months.
Really? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, I didn't know that. That's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And they take all your money, and then they take your assets. We're fighting now for a woman who has a condominium. We're trying to get her out. We found her a couple of aides. She has some money. Pay them. And then she's going to try to get on the CDPAP, but she wants to get out because she has some assets. And now, you know, they're looking to take them away from her.
Oh, she's in a nursing home.
Over a year. We got her a lawyer, you know, and we're trying to help her. We're going to set up a meeting with the nursing home, let them meet the aides and get her out of there as soon as possible.
Wow.
So we got another woman out who called into the show last night, Mary, and her daughter Maureen. Her daughter's blind. I think I told the story. We kept her calling in every night, you know, telling, and many a nights we had Mary and her on the line, Mary right from the nursing home. See, no other show does this that I know of, you know. And eventually they got wind of it, and they did everything they could to get her out. They wanted her out. That's what we wanted.
Yeah.
We got her out. They found her an apartment, accessible. They didn't want to deal with inner sight anymore. Good. And we'll do the same thing for anybody out there.
You caused a ruckus. It's a good thing. You know what we should do? When we want to get somebody out, we should bring a bunch of people and have a big, loud party. And then they'll throw them out.
Yeah, right.
Right?
You got to make sure they got a place to go.
Well, yeah, that's true, too.
Yeah. So, inner sight works in so many different ways, you know. And we have a lot of good ideas. I met with my congressman a few weeks ago. I'm hoping he's going to put up an amendment for the ADA to protect people who are denied service dog. Let's see if he does something about it.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
You know, if he does that, then we'll approach him on the home health aid thing. Why not?
You know, Frank, you are alive. You're almost about my sister's age. You're older than she was. Don't you remember all the protests in Washington?
Yeah.
Why don't anybody do that anymore? Why doesn't anybody do that anymore? When they get mad,
I don't know.
When they get mad,
I went to. Yeah. I went to one of those protests about the nursing homes some years back. You know.
Yeah.
I reported on it on the radio and all that. And thinking back, I was very disappointed that the message wasn't different. You know, put the money in our hands. See, I never heard them talk about that or say anything like that. I tried to put the idea out there, and nobody grabbed it.
Mm-hmm. You
know, that's really the answer. All they did was ask for more money. You see, and even if you get it, the next year, somebody else comes in and they take it away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the money should legally be in the person's hands, so they can't take it away. To take it away, they'd have to go to court. See, and then you got usually more of a chance because, you know, publicity and everything else, you know.
Yeah.
So I agree with you that there should be more demonstration, but with a message, a single message, you know?
Yes.
And part of that message should be, we the disabled want to help the government by taking some of the burden off of them. Let the agencies raise some of the money. And the reason for that is because then we could be directly involved. See, that would make a big difference in my mind.
Right, right.
See, if people could volunteer and say, oh, I'll help you raise the money. I'll go on television. Or you can put my picture in the paper or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody would do it, but a lot of people would. Because it would benefit
have,
the person. Yeah.
They do have, I'm looking this up, they do have a federal Medicaid program now, hear me out, designed to move people out of nursing homes back into their own home. But
yeah.
The waiting list is such a waiting list.
Forget it. I know.
Right. Right. Mhm.
We've been through it. We tried it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good idea, but I think it's a very long wait.
Yeah.
You know?
Not only that, there's another example. The money is controlled by the government.
Mhm.
You know. See, I believe the money should be in an account. So the person doesn't have to go into a nursing home.
Like a
that's a how it should be. Like a security account.
Like a trust.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
And let the agencies each year maybe put $1,000, $1,500, whatever they, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So now they don't have to go into a nursing home. That's the answer to that.
Right. It says,
anyway, that's the inner sight way. People think I'm crazy, but somebody said to me the other day, you get rid of all the nursing homes, a lot of people are going to hate you. I said, I don't care. Let them hate you.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? It's a billion-dollar industry.
Oh, yeah.
The last governor, the previous governor of Florida owned a whole bunch of nursing homes. He owned them. It's a money thing. It's all the money.
Yeah. Exactly. So the only way to beat it is with money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Well, we don't have our priorities in the right place of the country.
Yeah.
But you know, it's interesting to make people aware of these problems.
Oh, yeah.
And then they'll jump on and get a little spark to get involved.
Well, that's all the inner side can do right now, because we don't have the funds to change these things, you know. But
mm-hmm.
we can put it out there and let people know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've gone from 3,000 listeners on this show to over 110,000. Now, somebody is liking what we're doing.
Yeah.
You
know. Now, yeah, give the shows that you're on cable so people know.
Oh, yeah, we're on... tonight we were on Long Island Cable 7:30, it's reruns. They still got the studio closed. Reruns, we're sending in some old shows. Wednesday night, Manhattan Neighborhood Network, 1997. And Channel 3 on the Spirit Channel. It goes up on the, it goes all over the world, the show.
That's great, yeah. That's
so
great.
A lot of people have seen us, you know. We had a guy who contacted us from Australia not too long ago, who has a radio show and talks about us on the show when he plays rock music. I can't think of his name right now. But
Andrew? Is it Andrew?
I think so, yeah.
Andrew Hewitt? I know him.
Yeah, you know him?
Yeah, he has a thing for musicians with disabilities.
Yeah, yeah.
Can do musos. Yeah. I am a member of that.
In Australia?
Yeah, I'm a member of that. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
The kangaroos love us.
Yes, they do. Crikey. Well, we have 5 minutes. Call us 213-816-1650.
Yeah. It's been a great show. It's been a great revelation, you know, to reveal some of these things to people. And, you know, I always say, you won't hear shows like this anywhere else that I know of on the disabled.
You're like the Howard Stern of disability.
People have said that to me, and I don't know. Years ago, I was on Howard's show. I don't know if I ever told you.
No.
I'm gonna put it in my book. Years ago, when I wanted my phone bill in Braille, I went out in front of the phone company. It wasn't Verizon then. It was a different name. And I started a bonfire with the print bills. And they called the police. The police came. And NBC filmed it,
oh my God!
The news was there, and the cop was stamping out the flames with his. And he said to the manager, "Are you going to press charges?" And the manager said, "Oh no. We're going to give Mr. Perino his Braille bill."
Where were you?
And
wow.
Stern caught it on his show. And he got on the show, him with Robin, the girl, you know, cool
yeah.
Robin. And he said, he's kidding around, right? He said, "I want my bill in Braille, too. I want to feel it up," he goes.
I love it.
It was in downtown Brooklyn. At the phone company.
That's great, Frank.
And then Stern put me on the show, and he called me Blind Frank.
Like Stuttering John.
Yeah, I made friends with Elliot. You remember Elliot on the show? He used to dress up like a girl and run around the streets. Remember that guy?
Barely.
Yeah. Well, he became a friend of Inner Sight when I was on WGBB before we did a show together.
I was on GBB with you.
Yeah, yeah. And Elliot
came
in. You remember, was Elliot on the show with us when you were there?
I was there the whole time. I don't know.
Well, maybe this was 1240 that I was on. You weren't with me then. And he came in, and he befriended Inner Sight, and many a times after the show, he would say, here's $200-$300. The guy, he was very rich, this guy. You know,
very nice.
Kept the thing going.
Yeah.
Elegant Elliot Austin, that's what he called himself.
We have 90 seconds.
On Stern. I remember that
guy.
I'd like to find him again. He was a beautiful guy. Everybody thought he was gay, but he wasn't. He was just, it was theatrical, you know. He paraded around the streets with girls' clothes and got a lot of attention.
Yeah, that's great. So tomorrow you have the Friday Night Follies, right?
Oh, yeah. Tomorrow we're going to have some fun. Tomorrow.
Who's coming? I wonder who will show up.
We're going to have Lauren Hardy will be here, and my old classmate, Jimmy Dinigan, who was the biggest pain in the ass in school. His most famous slogan was this song. He drove everybody nuts. Two ginger ale, five in the glass. If you don't like it, jump it up your ass.
Oh, my God.
He used to go around singing that song, and the teacher would tell him, Jimmy, sit down.
On that note, we have to say goodbye. So thank you for listening. And bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you for the love of Pidgey. I didn't hear any prompts.
We're done. I said
oh, goodbye,
right.
World. Thank you. In a sight. Good night, everybody.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Pidge. Love you.
I love you, too. Bye.
Great show.
Bye-bye.